Please be seated. Watching the children go to Sunday school, that's the glory of God. Amen? I love to preach about the kingdom of God. As you know by now, if you've been listening to me more than a few weeks, the kingdom of God is one of my favorite subjects. And this being kingdom tide, it seems appropriate to preach about that. The scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day didn't understand about the kingdom of God. They didn't understand that there was a big difference between the kingdom of the world in which they lived and the kingdom of God in which Jesus lived. And the kingdom that Jesus came to proclaim was his kingdom. They thought it was a set of rules and regulations. They thought it was washing hands in pots and pans and getting things all ready and perfect on the outside. On the outside. And Jesus said, no, it's on the inside. It's not those things. It's what comes from within that makes you clean. They believed that eating with hands that were not washed, the disciples were doing that. They didn't wash their hands. They were defiling themselves. That is, the disciples were unclean before God as a result of their unwashed hands handling food. But Jesus set them straight. He told them that what goes into a man does not defile him, but what comes out of his heart. In another place, Jesus said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In yet another place, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus was talking about the inner man, and they kept talking about the outer person. They didn't get it. The kingdom of God, said Jesus, is here and now. The kingdom of God, said Jesus, is at hand. Ah, the kingdom of God is within. That's where it is. And if you know that this kingdom is within you, this being the case, how can we protect ourselves from harm while in the midst of the world who are bent on destruction, whose kingdom is on the outside? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because typically I might stand up here and preach about the gospel reading, but today the reading from Ephesians was so good and so appropriate that I want to preach about that today. Chris, I'm getting an echo up here. Could I get just a little tiny less volume? Thank you. Maybe we don't get defiled from what comes from without, but there's a lot of it coming at us all the time out there in the world. And Paul gives us the answer to how we exist in the world as Christians with the kingdom of God within us. How do we do that? How do we live out there with all these things coming at us? How do we keep, in fact, from getting defiled? So he said these things, and I want you to understand something. These are commands that Paul said. You want to live in the kingdom of God? Here's how. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He told us to be strong. That's kind of like when I was a kid and I got a scrape on my elbow. And my dad would say something like, just brush it off and keep playing. You're all right. Be strong. Man up. You know, be a big boy. Paul said we should be strong in the Lord. We should have some confidence and assurance that God is with us and that we have nothing to be afraid of. We have to remember that we're in a win-win situation, aren't we? Do you remember Father John Callard before he passed on? He said, I'm in a win-win situation. I've been diagnosed with cancer. And if I survive, I get to spend more time with you. And if I don't survive, I get to be with Jesus before all of you. I'm in a win-win situation. I like that. To this day, I remember that, those words of his. So that's how we can be strong in the Lord, because we're in a win-win situation. We rely on him for our strength. But if we rely on him for our strength, you have to remember that he's there in you, with you, and strengthening you. Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord, by the way. Did you notice? Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord before he tells us to put on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God. Are you convinced that you're a mighty warrior, an ambassador of the kingdom of God, a righteous citizen of that kingdom? We sang it, didn't we? Mighty warrior dressed for battle. That's us. A mighty warrior, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Paul said to put put on the full armor of God. He didn't say put on a couple of pieces. He didn't say the helmet will do for today. Go on out there, you're fine. No, put on the full armor of God. And who's responsible to put it on? Who's he talking to? Yeah, he's talking to us. You're responsible to put it on. Not just one or two parts, but all of it every day. And then he said to do this, take your stand. Can you imagine a warrior standing there with a sword drawn in full armor, and he's not going to be moved, no matter what? Take your stand, he said, against the devil's schemes. How do you take your stand against the schemes of the devil if you don't know what they are? And James said this, in the book of James it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, I'm having trouble with that word, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How can you resist the devil if you're treading on his territory and you're not armed and prepared? You can't. The first part of James' admonition, by the way, in that verse is, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To take a stand, therefore, means to be prepared and prepped and ready for battle against the enemy. Paul said that we struggle and we fight against the powers of darkness. How many of you know that evangelism is a fight? How many of you know that when you go out and you talk to somebody about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you're in a battle, that you're in a war right then and there, that you're pushing through the darkness and bringing light into the world? That's very important to remember. I'm not a doomsayer, nor do I relish the idea of ghosts and spirits attacking people in the spiritual realm. The enemy is much more subtle than that. But if there was no possibility of you being influenced by the wiles of the enemy, then why does Paul tell us to fight against him? There must be a reason why Paul said that. There must be something going on out there that's coming against us as we walk around in the world that we need to fight against, or he wouldn't have asked us to. He wouldn't have said, stand and struggle and fight against the wiles of the enemy, against the spiritual darkness. Put on the full armor of God, he says next. Didn't he already say that? He says it again. Did you notice? He says it twice in the reading. Put on the full armor of God. It must be an important thing to do. What is that armor of God that we must wear as we go out into the world? We said it this morning. By the way, as a matter of fact, this reading came up on the first Sunday of the month. What an irony, because I don't think that's happened in a long time where the reading from Ephesians actually matched the full armor of God that we put on at the first Sunday of every month. So it seems appropriate that that's what we're talking about today. Stand your ground, Paul said. Stand and stand firm. There we are again with the soldiers, sword drawn, standing, like the one who protects the tomb, the graves in Virginia. What is that called? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? He stands with his sword drawn at the ready, and then he takes 18 paces and he turns around and stands with his sword drawn at the ready. He's ready. He's standing there knowing that he's ready. Where is your ground? It's wherever you go. As an ambassador of the kingdom of God, you always represent that kingdom wherever you go. So if you're standing, you're standing as an ambassador of that kingdom, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, at the ready, with your sword drawn. Paul said to stand. Stand firm. Don't give up, no matter what. He said to stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What's the belt of truth? The belt of truth tells no lies. Did you know that? The belt of truth will always tell the truth and no lies. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of lies, but the kingdom of God is the kingdom of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have that truth living within us so that we know what is true and what is a lie, and we stand against the lies of the enemy. I can get drunk anytime I want and often, and it has no lasting effect on me or my family. That's a lie. I can do drugs because they don't hurt me or anybody else. That's a lie. I can take whatever I want. Doesn't matter if it belongs to me or not. That's a lie. See, there's lies of the enemy out there all around us. But we know the truth, don't we? We know the truth because that truth lives within us. He said to stand with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Can you envision a soldier with this heavy armor on and his front is protected? Why is the breastplate so important? Why is that so important? It's because that's what keeps spears and arrows from piercing the heart. Because once it pierces the heart, you're done for. And so the breastplate of righteousness has to be in place. It's hard to fight if you have a fatal wound. What does righteousness mean? What is a breastplate of righteousness? It means that you and God are together and in good standing. You have confessed any sins and you worship Him as God alone. When this condition is met, you're covered. The breastplate is in place and nobody can remove it, and the enemy cannot pierce it. He can't get at your heart, the most important place of all. The enemy cannot get at your heart if you have your breastplate of righteousness on. Again, how do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? What is righteousness? It's right standing with God. How do you get there? You confess your sins and you receive His forgiveness and acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life. That's righteousness with God right there. That's where you are. That breastplate protects you so that the enemy cannot get at your heart. Jesus said to guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And then Paul said, take up the shield of faith. My Father David does that when we do that. He said, take up the shield of faith to ward off all the fiery darts. And he's going like this, like the darts are coming from all over. I like that, what he does. Faith, the shield of faith means that you believe in spite of what you may see or hear. The shield of faith means that you believe in spite of what you may see or hear. The shield of faith protects you from unbelief. Did you know that the opposite of faith is not doubt? The opposite of faith is unbelief. Unbelief is faith in that which is the other side. You must know what and whom you have believed in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10. That's a present tense statement. So the shield of faith is a shield that you take up, and you say, I have this shield, which means I believe, and nothing is going to affect that belief. Nothing's going to affect that belief. And then Paul said, take on the helmet of salvation. This is the most important piece of armor. The breastplate of righteousness is right there, but the helmet of salvation is the most important piece. Do you know why? Do you know why the helmet is the most important piece? Because the place where Jesus was crucified was called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Why is that important, you're wondering? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. The place of the skull is right here. Okay? Where do thoughts come in? Where do they come from? They come from outside. They come from inside. And the helmet of salvation is there to protect us from all of the evil thoughts that come against us. It protects you from the outside thoughts and from influences that are everywhere. I have a question for all of you to answer. You can answer it to yourselves or you can answer it out loud. Have you acknowledged and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you part of His eternal kingdom, having come in through baptism? I think the music kind of goes along with that. If you said yes to these questions, then you're saved from your sins and from this world and are living members of the eternal kingdom of God, and nothing can take that away from you. The helmet is the helmet of salvation. Nobody can take your salvation away from you. Did you know that? Nobody can pry that helmet off your head no matter what. Nobody can take it away. Nothing can take that salvation away from you. The helmet of salvation cannot be removed once you've put it on. But sometimes you can doubt that it's real or doubt that it's there or that you're wearing it at all. And that's, by the way, when you need that shield of faith. See, the armor all goes together, doesn't it? The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, it all goes together because these pieces complement each other and they protect you from whatever comes against you in the world. And Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit of? His mighty word. How can you talk about God if you don't know who God is or what his heart is? How can you talk about God if you have not read his love letter to you? The Bible is replete with all that God wants you to know. So you want to put on the armor of God? Open the Bible and read it. When Jesus was confronted and tempted by the enemy in the desert, what did he use to defend himself? It is written. It is written. You can't defend yourself by saying it is written if you don't know what's written. We have the advantage today, by the way. We have the wonderful advantage today of having the Bible available to us on the internet, having the Book of Common Prayer and the Daily Office available to us on the internet. You can download the Bible onto your iPhone, onto your Kindle. You can carry it with you and take it on your laptop. I've got it on CDs in my vehicle. I listen to it while I'm driving. You can listen to and read the Bible anytime you want. How many here know that the Bible's available everywhere? We have that, the Bible, it's more available today than it's ever been in the history of the world in all different forms. That's a wonderful thing. And the Bible, the Word of God, the more you know of it, the more you know the heart of God. The more you know who God really is. Finally, Paul said these things. He said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Be constantly in prayer. Wherever you go, be talking to the Lord. Oh, it doesn't matter if you talk out loud. People might look at you funny if you're doing that. But be in prayer on the inside with God. Pray in the Spirit. Use a prayer language, if you have one. Doing that, you can pray and not even know what you're praying about. But pray all the time, Paul said. And he said this, he said, be alert. Be alert. A good soldier is always on guard, always watching for the right opportunity. When you reach out to others in need, by the way, that defeats the enemy. Did you know that? See, the soldiers of the kingdom of God are a little bit different. They're not going out and thrashing their swords around, trying to cut people's heads off. A good soldier reaches out to other people that are in need, and that defeats the enemy. When you give of what you have in obedience to our commander-in-chief, that defeats the enemy. When you share the good news of the gospel, that defeats the enemy. So be alert and be ready, always watching for the opportunity to do good. That defeats the enemy. Pray for this church and pray for everyone here, because intercessory prayer keeps the church strong. And when you encounter the dregs of the world around you and the attack is imminent, pray. Pray, said Paul. Four times in the end of this chapter, of this reading, he said, pray. Pray for each other. Pray for me. Pray in the Spirit. You see, the armor of God is not tangible. You can't reach down and adjust the girdle of truth, right? You can't lift the helmet a little bit and adjust it. It's there. It's on you. It's not tangible. It's not physical. It's a spiritual armor that you wear when you go out into the world. It's used to fight spiritual battles. It will defend you from the enemy. Paul said there's a battle going on. It's in the spiritual realm. It's in spiritual places. We can't necessarily see it, but it's always going on. The armor protects you and keeps you safe from harm. Because the forces of evil do not stand a chance against you when you're wearing the armor of God. You have every possible thing that you need to ward off the attacks of the enemy. But the responsibility to put it on every day is yours and yours alone. And understand one thing, this is not a contest between equals. Did you know that? The contest is not between equals. It's not God against the devil and we're afraid the devil's going to win. That's not it at all. The force that's in you, the Holy Spirit that lives in you, is the greatest power in the universe. When you have the armor of God on, the enemy doesn't even have a chance. Not even a small chance. He can't get in because you're covered. I remember watching an interview one time with a guy that worked in NORAD. You know what NORAD is? North American, what's the rest of it? It's a place that's 300 feet under a mountain in Colorado Springs. NORAD is a place where there's all these monitors and screens, and these guys working in there are watching the monitors and screens all the time. They're watching what's going on, and everything that flies is on these screens, and all the world, they can see it. So if somebody launches a missile, they know it. They know exactly what's going on in all the wars. NORAD is like that. And in the interview, a lady was interviewing this man, and she said, that must be a terribly stressful job. And he looked at her, and he said, now, why would you say that? She said, well, you know, you never know when the enemy's... He said, no. He said, we're completely at peace under there because we're the safest people on the planet. Nobody can get at us. We're 30 stories under the ground. The rest of the world could perish, but we're safe. See, that's the armor of God. The armor of God is like that. You're the safest person on the planet. Nothing can penetrate it. Nothing can come against it, but you have to put it on. When you leave the house each day, when you go about your life, take that armor. Say these things. Say, I'm a child, not right now, I'm just saying every day, say, I'm a child of the living God. I'm an ambassador of his kingdom. I'm a citizen of that kingdom. I have on my helmet of salvation. I know that I'm saved because of the work that he's done, not because of what I've done. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I've been reading it. I do pray all the time, and I'm in right standing with God because I've confessed any sins in my life, and I'm forgiven, and so God and I are like this. We're together. We're reconciled. I have on that breastplate of righteousness. And I have on the shield of faith because I believe that no matter what happens, I'm in a win-win situation. I can walk out into the world in confidence. And like the men at NORAD, the men and women who are underground at NORAD, I can be at peace. Because the soldiers of the kingdom fight battle differently than the soldiers of this world. Because we stand at ready with our sword drawn. Nothing can harm us in any way, shape, or form. If we're wearing that battle, that armor, then the battle goes on around us, and we stand firm, stand ready. So Paul said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor. Stand firm. Take up the sword and the shield. Be alert. Pray. And do it every day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've equipped us, Lord, for battle. We thank you, Father, that yours is a battle of peace, that yours is a battle where we can have confidence, Lord. We can have the confidence that within us lies your Holy Spirit, the greatest power in all of the universe. We thank you, Lord, for so equipping us in Jesus' name. Amen.